Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home. Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home.
Welcome to the Free Birth Society podcast. This is a radical space for women who are ready to celebrate their autonomous choices in birth, motherhood, and beyond. Together, we'll learn about wild birth through personal narrative, we'll explore the politics of birth, and we'll analyze everything that relates to our lives as women from a feminist perspective. Here's your host, Emily Saldaya.
It's been a while, freedom child.
Hi, Corinne.
Hello, Emily.
Excited to talk with you today.
As am I. Cannot wait.
So you've got three stories to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And just tell us a little bit about where you live and your orientation to all of this before we dive in.
Sure. So I am a mother to three, my oldest being five. My youngest will be one pretty soon. I live in the Pacific Northwest, specifically Washington State, and I have pretty much been a birth nerd and like obsessed with babies since the beginning.
Since you were in diapers.
Truly, though, because at like 2 and 3 years old, I would go around, I'd wear this cute little bandana in my hair, and I'd be nursing my Teletubbies.
Cute.
And I myself wasn't even a breastfed baby, but like, I've always been very maternal. So like, I just knew like that's how I feed my babies.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a little girl, just like elementary, middle school, I was obsessed with the TV show called Baby Story on TLC. And it convinced me that I wanted to become a midwife. So It has always been something that I have loved. But it's funny because it didn't translate up until more recently. So I ended up going to college to become a teacher because I still wanted to be involved with children. Dropped out after 2 years because I hated it, and decided after me and my husband got married that I just wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. It's kind of another thing about me is I've never really known what career path I wanted other than to be a mother. And also just to be involved with babies and mothers and children in general. So
are you a birth worker in any?
So I do a lot of sharing online. And I'm currently in a 12-month program, to become a birth worker. Like actually serve women in person. Yes. As soon as my baby weans from breastfeeding. So We'll see how that goes. But so I dropped out of college. Me and my husband got married. I decided I want to be a stay-at-home mom. So we get pregnant pretty quickly. And I was just like the typical American young first-time mom, not really knowing much about pregnancy and birth. I actually called up my friend as soon as I got a positive pregnancy test. She had a baby before me. I was like, I'm pregnant. What do I do? Like, what do I do? And she's like, here's the name of my OB. You need to go see her. You will love her. And I knew there were alternative choices, but I didn't like look into them. So I took my friend's advice and went with an OB. And immediately I could tell that I wasn't going to get to see the OB that I wanted to see. I, at the time, preferred male OBs. Okay. And
why?
So my experience with them was much kinder. There was more, I don't know, consent involved, I guess. Like they were more careful with me than the female OEs were. I kind of experienced like the female to female, I don't know what it was, but like I was checked for dilation And it felt like at 36 weeks, mind you. And I felt like she was like, "You're a woman. I am a woman. You can take this pain." I was clearly in pain as she's shoving her fingers up into my cervix. And then when a male OB would check my cervix, it was like, "I'm going to put my hand here." And, you know, I have a very different opinion now on that, but I preferred male OBs. I was never able to see the doctor that I wanted to see. And their whole approach is like, we want you to see every single doctor that is in the clinic because we don't know who's going to be available for you when we give birth or when you give birth. So I'm high risk in my pregnancy. My baby is measuring small. I'm a small person. I'm like 5'2", 100 pounds. I'm not a big person. So they ran me through the ringer. I got an insane amount of ultrasounds, literally weekly. And at the end of my pregnancy, I was doing the NSTs, the BPPs, all the things.
Dang.
And at 39 weeks, he did not pass one of the BPPs because he didn't practice breathe within the 30 minutes they allotted him to. So this was a Friday, and they said, "Oh crap, we're gonna have to induce you. Like, this is medically necessary to induce you." And out of my own ignorance, I didn't know that you couldn't, like, you had to listen to the doctors. Like, I didn't know you didn't have to show up to an induction. Like, I had this annoyance and this like intuition of like, my baby feels fine, I feel fine. But also kind of loving the almost like the attention, right?
Oh my
Like
God, totally. The
the extra like
drama.
yes, honestly, and like the excitement of like, ooh, you're gonna know basically when he's born, and I'm a high risk, you know, like kind of feeding into that, but also knowing like the truth, like internally, like I knew he was fine, but still kind of wanted to go down the route and then be like, oh, the doctors, the doctors, the doctors. So they told me I needed to be induced, but, and it's medically necessary, right? But let's wait until Monday because that's when I'm on shift, you know? So we have the weekend to prepare. And I'm doing all the things to try and naturally induce my labor, running up and down the stairs and bouncing on my ball, dates, red raspberry leaf tea, all the things. Of course, he wasn't going to come. He's not ready. I now know that I have longer pregnancies, much like my mother.
Longer meaning what?
So 42, my mom actually went to 43 with one of my siblings.
So like totally average.
Right. But in the medical complex, that's long. So, all of our family lives about 2.5 hours away. So it was exciting for me to get to tell them like a date and a time. I wanted the party birth. I think we were allotted like five people in the room. This was right before COVID hit. It was August of 2019. So my mother-in-law, my mother, my sister's best friend, who's also like a little sister to me, and then my husband. We all show up to my little induction and I'm all excited. And we get the Pitocin started about 9 p.m. and everyone leaves because, you know, inductions are long. So just to kind of fast forward a little bit, I end up laboring really well, handling the contractions great, especially for being on Pitocin. One thing I didn't realize in the hospital is like you have to ask to do anything. Like you can't just get up and even go to the bathroom without them freaking out because I had to unlatch all the monitors, like the belly monitors that I was hooked up to. I had the whole IV pole with the Pitocin and the fluids, and it's like a whole thing to get me to go to the bathroom. So I'd have nurses running in because they lost the heartbeat, and I'm like, I'm just trying to go potty. Like I just need to pee, you know? So it was a whole thing to even allow me to get in the tub. I wanted to labor in the tub. I needed special gear to labor in the tub, laboring really well. And a nurse comes in and tells me, "Hey, just so you know, when you're done with the tub, we're going to do internal monitoring on you." And I knew what that meant. I knew it was a screw in my baby's skull. But at that point, I was already in transition and didn't even know it. And so I didn't say anything to her. I was just kind of like gonna be along for the ride. So I get out of the tub. And the only thing that saved me from internal monitoring at that point was I was a 9.5 already at, when was this? Around like 6:30 a.m., starting Pitocin at 9 p.m. the night before. So it was pretty quick
Wow.
for an
Yeah.
induction. So I'm told I'm a 9.5. I'm so excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, my baby's gonna be here soon. And then I'm sat on the bed, and my nurse gets down on her knees and like is holding my shoulders and looks at me, and she goes, "This is your last chance to get the epidural.
Oh my gosh.
You need to get it now, or you won't be able to get it." And
They're
she
so
starts,
rude. They're so rude.
I know. And she
You're like
starts,
doing so amazing.
yep, she starts telling me, she's like, I got epidurals with my babies, and it's totally okay. We can get you out of this pain. Because, I'm 9.5 centimeters, getting ready to have my baby within, probably the next hour or two. So it's at the height of the intensity. So, of course, when a woman, a first-time mom, young, is offered pain relief, you're gonna take it, right? So it was just, it wasn't like, it was just so manipulative. I would have rather her be like, "You're doing so amazing. Like, your baby's gonna be here soon." And it was all, it was just so manipulative to be like, "It's okay. We can give you the epidural now." I didn't even ask for it. She just offered it to me. I said yes. So, 7 a.m., the guy comes in, get the epidural in. It was terrifying because I was crying, sobbing, "I'm gonna have a contraction," while he's like, "I'm gonna break into the sac of fluid into your spinal fluid, and you're gonna have a horrible headache." And I'm crying and scared, and all the things. So dramatic. I get the epidural, slows down my labor by like 3 or 4 hours. And it's time to start practice pushing around 10:30, which, what does that even mean? You're pushing or you're not. And the nurse comes in, and she like spreads my labia and goes, "Oh, your baby's right here, so let's start practice pushing." And then she begins to take her hands and make a mohawk out of my baby's hair and says, "Oh, your baby has so much hair. Everyone come around. Let's look," as I'm literally playing with your baby's hair. Like, how disturbing is that? That's so disgusting.
They'll, yeah, they literally do hairstyles.
Like, what is this, a barber
That's
shop?
a thing. That is a
So messed
frequent thing where they do little hairstyles on the unborn baby while she's splayed open under the
Yeah,
lights.
right.
Also, practice pushing, part of it is meaning pushing before you call the doctor. So it's pushing without, the big guy
Right.
who's gonna actually get paid to catch the baby or deliver the baby.
Absolutely. Yeah, so my OB ends up coming in because the practice is, good enough. And it was a male OB. Like I said, I had chosen a male OB at the time. And he comes in with this young blonde woman. And he says, "Hey, I know you wanted me to be the one to deliver, but we have this new OB from California. We really want her to have a couple births under her belt. So she's actually going to be delivering you today, and I'm going to stand in the corner." And again, not knowing I could say no to this, I was like, okay. So,
Well, you can't. You could have said no, and then he would have just said, "Oh, sweetheart, this is what we're doing." There was no saying no.
So, she comes and sit down. She sits down in between my legs, and my husband is on one side holding one leg up to my ear. My mother-in-law is on the other side with my other leg up to my ear, not even in the stirrups, like straight up to my ears as I'm trying to push. And what I hadn't realized is that, so my epidural was on one of those pumps where you could like click the button. And my husband afterwards had told me, every time the nurse came in, she clicked that epidural button for you. And I didn't know that she had been doing that like 10, 20 times, always clicking that pump. So I was way more numbed out than normal. I literally couldn't walk for 24 hours. That's how numbed out I was. So I couldn't feel contractions at all. I had to look at a screen. They all had to tell me and scream at me, "Push, push, push, don't breathe, push, push, curl over your baby." And The female OB, I did not know this until later on, had her fingers inside of my vagina the entire time I'm pushing and was stretching me very aggressively because I'm a first-time mom, so I need help being stretched, right? So I was pushing about 30 minutes. I was told that I have a lazy uterus because my breaks were pretty long in between the contractions. And so
How do
they.
you feel right now telling me this story? Like, what
My
is
heart
this
is
mean?
pounding. It's disgusting. It's hard to like look back on and know, like this is how my first birth went.
It's really painful.
Yeah, so they tell me my uterus is lazy, so they turn up the Pitocin to get things going. And my baby is born and he's placed on my chest and I'm excited and happy and crying and but one thing I had asked was for delayed cord clamping, which I did not know in the hospital. Their version of delayed is like 1 or 2 minutes. So they go to cut the cord and immediately blood squirts everywhere, and that pulled me out of whatever birth high I was able to have at the moment with Pitocin epidural, everyone screaming at me, fingers in my vagina, all of that. And I wasn't able to get it back. Immediately, I was pulled out and like disassociated basically from this experience. And it felt like I was just not even in my own body, but kind of like watching from above and like everyone is surrounding me.
You were
So,
also on, you were on fentanyl, and
yeah.
so the literal like result of being on heavy narcotics is often out of body experiences. So it's like women on epidurals are on hardcore narcotics, which are literally making them high, paired with being abused. Like that's a really, I mean, duh, it's an understatement to say this, but that's a really hardcore combo to be abused on drugs. You know, because you can't like integrate it in the same way.
Right. So, after this birth, it took me a while to realize that I actually left with a few birth injuries that should not have happened. So, from the stretching, that the OB was aggressively doing, I tore to the side, so I had a really bad labial tear. And she didn't tell me what degree it is, but my guess is like a really bad two because I could not have sex for 6 months. It was so painful. And I remember asking my friends, like, hey, if you tore, like, how are you feeling? They're like, oh, yeah, I can have sex. I can have sex, 6 weeks postpartum. And I'm over here feeling like trying to have sex with my husband. And it feels like assault. That's how bad it hurt.
It's also not just the tear, it's that you were just sexually assaulted,
Oh, yeah.
so there's the psychological, like undeniable component and spiritual component
Right.
of like not safely being able to return to your body.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it that way, honestly. That's a good thought process about that. So I received that birth injury, and then they had cathed me 2 times while under drugs with the epidural, and I could not figure out for the life of me what was wrong with my urethra for like a year. Every time I would go pee, it felt like a Charlie horse in my urethra. Like I would try and pee, and then I would get this cramp, and it would like stop me from peeing. And I had that for like a year, and it was finally like someone online that I was chatting with who told me, "Hey, that's from the catheter." And I was like, "What on earth?" And I still feel hints of it to this day. But yeah, so I left with like 2 birth injuries that did not need to happen. So our postpartum experience was awful. We were bullied about all the decisions we made because I was on the track to being more holistic at the time. Like we chose no vaccines, no eye goop, no circumcision, all of that stuff. And we got bullied, told our child was going to end up like in the NICU with a brain bleed, all the fear mongering. And so we ended up leaving the hospital by God's grace with no issues. It's really easy to just like, be like, okay, I'll do it. But for some reason, we were able to leave scot-free, which was amazing. And for a while, I talked really highly of my.
Kind of scot-free.
Yeah, right. Right.
With
Like,
injuries and
meaning.
a ruined birth.
Yes, absolutely. Meaning, my son didn't get poked or circumcised. Very low bar there. But we had left that birth with positive experience. I even made a video on my YouTube channel, positive induction experience.
No.
I did, Emily.
Oh, well, that speaks to your growth and trajectory, and it's always, I think, good to hear stories like that for everyone listening, because you are where you are till you're not. And a lot of
Yes.
women who are currently in the positive induction, blah, 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 still have the potential to wake
Yeah.
up.
Right.
If you are like most of my listeners, you are devouring these episodes and you're probably wishing that you could speak to the women that come on this show, learn from them, even get to know them in real life, right? Well, I would like to invite you into my inner circle. It's called the Lighthouse. The Lighthouse is my highly exclusive online membership, and it's where most of the women on this podcast are hanging out. It's by far the best social media platform on the internet. It's highly curated by yours truly, and our team personally vets every single member coming in to ensure the highest caliber community imaginable. I'm talking a full feed of free birth announcements every day, engaging and intellectual conversation about everything taboo under the sun, a ton of group calls every month to connect and be in circle, not to mention the now 7-year-old matriarch search engine that will quickly replace your Google searching. We only open our doors 4 times a year, and half that time we only open it to those on the wait list. Add your name to the list in the show notes below and consider taking your place among us brilliant, sovereign, wild women, because it's just simply better when we're all together. See you on the inside, sis.
So, we hated our postpartum experience. So we got pregnant 9 months postpartum, and we started looking into alternative options just because
Wait,
we
what do you
hated,
mean? Yeah, what do you mean you hated your postpartum experience?
oh, with the bullying, like at the hospital, the postpartum
Oh.
experience at the hospital, just with
But
all of the
so
bullying.
when you leave your birth and you are like integrating it, digesting it, unpacking it with your husband, at this point the narrative is like the birth was great, but fighting against them postpartum sucked.
Yes.
Okay.
So we got pregnant like 9 months postpartum unexpectedly, and we decided we're going to look into alternative options. And so I had messaged my chiropractor asking her, hey, what midwives do you suggest? And my chiropractor has had home birth and now a free birth. She sends me a home birth midwife and says, hey, this is, you are going to vibe with her. You will love her. So I go do a consultation with her, and I didn't realize she was only a home birth midwife, but we drive out to the woods to her tiny house, and we get in there, and she offers us some tea, and we're doing our consultation, and she's like, yep, I only do home births. And me and Aiden look at each other, and we're like, okay, I guess we're going to do home birth. Like, it was never something that I had like sought out myself. It was just like, I vibe with this care provider, and I'm going to do home birth. And but through that, I began to do research, and then ultimately decided, yes, home birth is what I'm going to do. So I end up losing that baby, and we get pregnant 2 months later with another baby, and we lost that baby as well.
Oh,
So I had
jeez.
two back-to-back losses.
And how were those births handled?
So my first one was very medically managed. It was a blighted ovum. And so sometimes those can take longer to pass, right? And so I was at the 12-week mark. I was getting really nervous. I was feeling some symptoms. It could have been anxiety. I don't know. I chalked it up to being like infection. And I went and got a DNC for that one. And then my first free birth was actually a miscarriage. So my second miscarriage, sorry, was at home normally, just passing my baby, and it was so peaceful. It was so hard, but peaceful.
Was that informed from the DNC experience that you were like, I don't want that again as the second one was?
Yes, absolutely. I didn't want to go through the medical procedure again. It didn't feel good in my body. So yeah, I experienced basically my first free birth with a miscarriage, and it was, as hard as it was beautiful. And I got to like sit there and like hold my baby and like be with them and like pray over them and spend time with them with no one else there but my 2-year-old son at the time. And I honestly really liked, I loved that experience as hard as it is. But we ended up getting pregnant with my double rainbow baby, my daughter, 3 months later. And so, of course, I'm set up with my midwife, and she walked me through those miscarriages as well. So I had a really good relationship with her, still do. And that whole pregnancy was great. It was amazing. I just loved her care. And we get to about 40 weeks pregnant, and I start feeling like anxious because at the time, me and my husband's relationship was not good. He was hiding alcoholism from me, and I didn't know it. He was severely depressed. Yeah, we went through a really, really
Wait, how was
rough
he
time.
hiding it?
So he would basically go upstairs when I would go to bed at night, and he would go into the garage and game with his friends, and that's when he was drinking. And then he'd wake up hungover every day
Whoa.
going to work. It was intense. Yeah. So, I felt the lack of connection with my husband. There was never a lack of support. My husband was always supportive and on board, but there was no connection. We didn't have that emotional, intimate connection. So I needed that from other people. And like I said, my family is about 2.5 hours away. So I was like, well, what happens when I go into labor? Like, what if no one is here in time? Like, I need my family to come stay with me. Right. So they all come up. I don't even know how far along I was, but like in my 40 week, and they're just sitting at my house waiting for me to go into labor. And I just felt so watched. I felt so like, ooh, like these people are taking their time off of work for me and I'm not going into labor. And like every single day I would wake up pregnant still. And every night my mother-in-law would be like, okay, we're going to have a baby tonight. And I'd wake up in the morning and no, the baby
Yeah.
wasn't there. So my midwife never told me this, but I was under the impression that you could only be pregnant up until 42 weeks without going to the hospital. She never told me that's not true because in Washington state, we don't have that law, like the regulation. Midwives are allowed to attend home births, you know, as far as you go. It's fine. But I was under the impression that I had to give birth by 42 weeks. So we are coming up on 42 weeks and I'm freaking out. And I'm feeling bad because my family is here. They took time off of work and no baby. And so I start asking my midwife, I'm like, hey, what can we do here? And she's like, well, you know, we can wait it out or there are some options. And we talk about the midwife's brew. And I ultimately decided to take the castor oil concoction the morning of December 20th. So December 20th, 2021. I take my first dose at 12 p.m. and it was horrendous. I have never felt more nauseous in my life. I never vomited, but I was having such explosive diarrhea, Emily, that I gave myself a hemorrhoid from how much I was pooping. It was awful. It was awful. And in order for it to be effective, I had to take two doses. So I took my first dose at 12. I laid in bed pretty much the whole day, so sick. And then took my second dose at 5 p.m. And like no contractions really ever started, honestly, until I decided, you know what? I'm just going to get up and I'm going to start walking around my room. I'm going to pace around my room and let's see if I can get into labor because the concoction didn't start contractions. So it was about like 8 p.m. or so, and I start walking around my room and contractions begin. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And at this point, every single contraction I have, I'm like shitting my pants because I'm still clearing out from all of the castor oil. It was terrible. So I had to do all of my contractions on the toilet. And it was like, there was no like gradual start. It was like, I'm in transition immediately. Is what it was. And so I called my midwife, let her know things were happening. And she's like, do you want me to come over? And I'm like, no, not yet. And she ultimately ended up coming over. My birth was only about 3 hours long, start to finish. And she came over probably an hour after my labor had began. I was sitting on the toilet, and the first thing I told her is, Rebecca, I got a hemorrhoid, and I'm like sobbing because my butthole hurts. And she is just comforting me, and we had everything set up in my bedroom, and it was another party birth, because I invited my sister, my mother-in-law, my mom, all the people. It was really quick. It was emotionally difficult because my mother-in-law kind of took the place of my husband because I was closer to my mother-in-law than I was my husband. So if you look back at all my birth photos, my mother-in-law's with me and my husband's not really. So that's kind of hard to look back on just because it's painful to see like where we were. But overall, I had a pretty positive birth experience with that birth.
Other than everything you just said.
It's true though, like my actual birth, like it was nice, like giving birth in the tub. I enjoyed it and I got to stay home, you know? So yeah, I birthed in the tub and
That's risky business when you're shitting
I know. Oh
Oh.
my gosh. Okay, so yeah, I birthed in the tub and but this is where things I've had to process this. I didn't even get a golden hour. I sat in the tub for probably like 20 to 30 minutes holding my baby. And I gave birth to the placenta pretty quickly, like within 30 minutes. And, I was asked to get out of the tub so we could monitor bleeding.
Ew.
And so I transitioned out of the tub, and my baby is passed over to my husband as I'm getting out of the tub. And I don't get my baby back for like 1 to 2 hours afterwards.
What?
Yeah, she was passed around the room to everyone who was there. And
What?
yeah, so I laid on my bed as I was being stitched up. I was shaky from giving birth and hungry, so I was having food. And at the time, I didn't really notice. It took me a while to like fully grasp this. I do remember. Oh, and also my chiropractor ended up coming to this birth. She missed the birth by 5 minutes, so she was there too. I remember my chiropractor and my midwife in the distance saying, "We need to get baby back to mama. We need to get baby back to mama." And my mom, like, okay, let me backtrack. Cicely, my daughter, she was crying a lot. And I remember thinking, "Why is she crying so much?" And I'm like, "Oh, she's just a newborn. She's just a newborn." Now, looking back, I know that it was separation. She was crying for me, and no one was giving her to me. And I remember hearing in the distant background, though, like my midwife and my chiropractor being like, "Okay, let's give baby back to mama. We need to get her back on mama." And it just like never happened. It
Weird.
just never happened. And I remember Cicely, she was crying, and my mom runs in with a binky. It's like, "Hey, let's give her this binky." And my chiropractor is
Whoa.
like, no, we're not giving her a binky. She needs to be on the boob." So in the moment, I didn't realize that. And it took me up until my pregnancy with Florence, my third baby, to unpack that because I got severe postpartum anxiety afterwards because there was separation. My daughter's almost three, struggle with anxiety with her specifically. Like if she wakes up crying in the middle of the night, heart pounding, nauseous, like something's wrong with her. Like, so I experienced separation in that birth, and it really affected me to my core. And
There could be a there's these really cool ways to recreate the birth with the intention to rewrite the repair, where you could, this is going to sound a little silly, but you could, if this interested you, set the intention to mend that anxious attachment experience. I mean, it always happened. You can't like rewrite what literally happened, but I've seen some pretty cool stuff happen where you would go into the tub and you, if she was willing, she would be with you. And she would even, depending on how into it she is, most kids are pretty into this, she would actually pretend to come out of you. And
That's
then,
sweet.
yeah. And then you might even take your top off or just be in. I mean, you could be naked, obviously, or whatever. And then you would pick her up and hold her, and you would not let her go. And you would just use whatever words felt right for you. And it could just be the two of you. Your husband could also witness. But it would be essentially a ceremony to say what happened happened, but we're going to go through these motions again, and I'm going to keep you, and you're going to stay with me, and there's no separation, and I hear you, and you're, we're going to breathe together, and it can just be really organic. There doesn't need to be like any script, but I've seen that really like with the intention to recreate and then allow a new like new synapses, to the story. I've seen it really do magical things to both the mother and the child systems.
Yeah, I've heard of that specifically with cesareans, but I've never heard of that when it comes to like stories like mine. So that's really beautiful.
You could do it with any sort of, I mean, parent, mother baby separation is very, it's very common that that causes anxiety in the pair. Sometimes it shows up more in one or the other. But I've seen serious anxiety be resulted from just like medical home births where the mother is brought to the bathroom, let's say, to birth the placenta because the midwife wants that, and the baby is left in the room. Like that can seem so innocent. And just that, I don't mean to minimize it, it's a really big deal. It shouldn't be happening. I've seen that result in really, really serious anxiety. Anyway, so yeah, that's a thought.
Yeah, I actually like felt I it's not like an embarrassment feeling, but almost like it's not big enough to be categorized as trauma because there's so much trauma that happens in birth. Like me just not holding my baby can't be considered trauma. So I've had to sit with that as well.
Birds, if they're young, get touched by a human, they will reject them. Like it is not natural for, there is a very clear blueprint intended for optimal survival, and it didn't get to happen. And yeah, I get how women gaslight themselves and compare themselves, to other people, but it's very real.
So I had to sit with that and process it for a long time, to really be like, no, this did happen to me and it has caused me years of pain. It has. I actually, in my pregnancy with my youngest, Florence, had a whole hour conversation with my midwife about that birth and how it had caused me anxiety. So let's just go into that. So I end up getting pregnant again with my daughter Florence when Cicely was about 14 months or so. And it's funny because me and my husband had decided, okay, we're ready for a third. Let's go ahead and get pregnant. And so we are like trying for 3 months. And at the end of 3 months, I'm like, you know what? I'm not ready. I don't want to have a baby yet. And so I had told God, I was like, hey, God, I'm ready for a baby. And then after 3 months, I was like, you know what? I'm revoking my womb. I'm not getting pregnant. I'm done. Let's try this again another time. And he laughed in my face and said, sorry, you're already pregnant. So I end up getting pregnant. Of course, I'm excited. And we have her pregnancy, and it was great. And I did decide to go ahead and move forward with my midwife again. And the entire pregnancy, I'm talking to her about, oh, no, I need a backup. Sorry, I need a backup. My husband in the shower, 3 days postpartum with Cicely after our home birth, says, do we even need a midwife next time? Like, we could do this by ourselves. And it's just so funny because, like, even as disconnected as we were, like, we still had a good, like, he was just like, I don't know, intuitive and had such good discernment because he didn't know what free birth was. He'd never heard that term. He didn't know it was an option. He was just like, I don't think we need a midwife next time. And I had already been listening to Free Birth Society and I was like, oh, you want to do a free birth? And it wasn't for me at the time. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know about that. But he put that seed in my mind of like, wait, my husband is mentioning this to me? Well, maybe I'll resonate with that. So Fast forward to my pregnancy with Florence. I'm grappling with the idea of free birth. And
so you're listening to the podcast, just like being like, this isn't for me, but also
yeah,
it's interesting kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, almost like, I want to do this, but I'm not brave enough. Right. So I have these conversations with my midwife every single appointment, and I tell her, hey, you know what? We're going to have a free birth. We're going to have a free birth. I still want you for, you know, postpartum care, because I do love her as a person. And I, you know, love the idea of being served postpartum. But we're going to do a free birth. And like every single appointment, it was just me talking about free birth with her. And
so you hired her and paid her to not have her at your birth.
Yes.
And then you did have her postpartum.
Yes.
So you did all the prenatals with her.
Yeah. So I went to all my prenatals, and I just remember feeling this redundancy of like, especially near the end of my pregnancy, like I just have to come to this office every day. And it was nice, 'cause all we did was talk, you know, like 30 to 60 minutes of talking, but like, what am I doing here? Like, I don't know.
And
so,
what was her vibe when you kept telling her, I'm hiring you to not do your job?
so no, she she's supportive of me doing a free birth, and we had a lot of conversations about it. And her, you know, she is a medical midwife, so of course she wants to attend her client's birth.
Well,
but
I don't know, it's pretty chill to get paid to not
true,
show.
True. She never had any like kickback for me. She has never fear-mongered me ever. She really helped me untangle Cicely's birth, and like go figure out my anxiety with that.
Did she like apologize?
No.
Okay.
No. And I did hear her in the background saying things like, hey, we need to get mother or baby to mother, but it just never happened. But
heard her passively not being a leader and protecting you, which is what a fucking midwife is supposed to be.
Yeah,
it
it's
makes
hard.
It makes me angry. You know, it's like, it almost makes it worse that she was a mouse in the corner being like, knowing what was happening was wrong and allowing it. Ugh.
Yeah, it is hard to sit with, for sure. So, yeah, all we really ever talked about was free birth in my appointments, knowing that my intentions were to not have her attend my birth. And it was very much like, I want to do this, but also like protective, like that's kind of what free birth is. Like, you're protecting your space. And like, I didn't want anyone there. I didn't want anyone there. I just wanted it to be me and my husband and my photographer, which I love. And she was at Cicely's birth as well. Yeah. So that's all we really did on my appointments. And I was not willing to do any sort of like at home inductions or anything. I was like, you know what? This time, like, it's different. I'm not doing this. I don't care if I'm pregnant until 43 weeks. Like, because technically I've never really experienced going into labor by myself, because I was induced medically, and then I was induced at home. So
tell me, before you get into the third birth story, tell me a little bit about like how you come to, what's the right word? I mean, essentially critique this second birth that on paper, you know, can look perfect. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, water birth, family's there, midwife that you love and trust. So tell me about how you come to reflect on that and like want something different. And how do you come to align with free birth? Like, what does free birth mean for you? You said it means protection, which really speaks to your distrust in her also. But like, how cognitive are you of all of that?
So what I had kind of spoken on with my hospital birth is kind of, it kind of carried through in my second birth as well, with me like knowing intuitively, like, this is what is right and what I want, but also playing into the excitement of the other things, like the midwife and the appointments and all of that. So it's like, it's almost like I have this, these two things inside of me that are like fighting each other almost. Like, I'm here, I am intuitive, but also like I kind of have like kind of like the drama a little bit, you know, like that kind of war. And a lot of it actually had to do with prayer and self-reflection and listening to the podcast and going back to my husband, his words to me being like, do we need a midwife? Do we need a midwife? Like him being that voice of like knowing almost for me to like pull me out of this, you know, thing. And also just my anxiety with Sicily was a huge catalyst for me because I was having horrendous anxiety my entire first trimester with Florence still from my birth. Like I would wake up and literally have to run to the bathroom and go diarrhea. That's how bad my anxiety was.
And
heart pounding.
You knew to connect it to the birth?
I began to. Because I began unfolding everything that had, I was like, the only thing that makes sense is like, I'm so anxious about Sicily. The only thing that makes sense is my birth. Like, there's nothing else wrong with her. She's perfect. She's healthy. It's my birth. It has to be my birth. So then that's when I did a whole dissection of her birth and was like, it was the separation that happened, that occurred. It had to be that. So yeah, it was just a lot of like thinking and pondering and also just listening to stories on your podcast of women who have gone through similar things. And yeah, that's kind of how it went for me. And again, still hiring my midwife because I love her and wanted her support postpartum. And she did play a big part in helping me figure out Sicily's birth as well when we did that whole conversation. But
it's interesting how like the midwives that sabotage the births will then help women untangle and unpack that very birth. Like that's, I feel real cautious of that. I
yeah,
feel,
I get
you
that.
Know, like that is a real tricky business. And there's kind of this like elephant in the room that's not getting named, it sounds like.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. But I want to reemphasize the significance of any of you listening who have, what's the right word? Have had a connection fracture, a physical fracture with your young. I have seen so many women, and I don't think it's talked about enough publicly, but I've seen so many women experience very real PTSD symptoms from moments, like having lack of visual on their baby for moments, which really, really makes a lot of sense.
Totally.
Because it's so unsafe. It is
right.
unsafe to not have your baby with you. And what's interesting about yours is it's so easy to gaslight yourself that it was all like, and I'm not even saying you did this. Like I could just imagine anyone relating to this story. It's like all these people love you. All these people love this baby. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they were strangers. It wasn't like masked assholes in the NICU. You know, it's your people that you invited to this place, and yet you were invisible. And this happens with so many women in home births. I mean, it's obviously happening in the hospital. You can see them on YouTube. I'll show like in our programs these videos where it's a home birth, and the mother, like, no one's tending to her. The mother is absent and everyone's focused on the baby, passing the baby around. You know, it's really, really wild.
And I feel like those are even harder to like fully uncover because, like you said, it's like all loving people with all good intentions.
Theoretically.
Right. Those are harder to uncover. At least for me, it was. Yeah. So
you just start to realize like, I don't want to force my birth process. I'm unpacking that I had anxiety around separation and free birth is like an obvious way to control that, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm wondering like, why not just not have the party birth and have your trusted midwife? What was the thinking there?
So, okay. A lot of in my pregnancy with Florence, I had a prayer journal where I was just literally writing all of my prayers out. The top one was free birth. I want, like, is this what God has for me? And like, I'm still unpacking all of the trauma from both of my other births and just trying to figure myself out and like who I am as a woman and what I want for birth, right? And I think just every time I would visualize my birth, I was by myself, like in regards to like there's no medical provider there. Every time I'd visualize it, I would have dreams. That's all I desired. Like I did not desire, as much as I loved my midwife, like I didn't respectfully want her there. I didn't. I just didn't. It's not what I wanted. And it was just kind of through all the reflection, dissecting mainly Cicely's birth, and the anxiety with that. And my husband literally just speaking to it and be like, we don't need a midwife. Like, we don't. So yeah, it was just basically through a lot of prayer and being like, this is where I align. And also just like I'm a Christian. I'm a believer of the Christian God. And for me, like this is God's design for birth. It's a design. His design for us is to birth physiologically, and we don't need anyone there that we don't want there. Like we don't need these medical providers. So that's
So your first two babies were not like in God's design.
I mean, I don't believe that God has trauma set out for us in our births.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I believe. I don't believe that like God did not create us with an OB. Be like, okay, when this woman gives birth, here you go, here's
Shove
the
your
third
hands up
person.
in there and
Yes.
make sure to really
Right.
fuck up her urethra.
Right, because
Yeah.
like, I believe that God fully designed us capable to give birth without medical supervision, medical management in any way. That's what I believe. And it was through a lot of prayer
Well,
and like reflecting.
it's not really like a belief, it's a fact.
Oh, absolutely.
Is it a
Absolutely.
belief? Like, look at the deer, look at the elephants, look at all the women doing it this way. I mean,
Yes. Yes, that's very true. I would get a lot of kickback on saying that online. So
well, who
that's why I
cares?
say it that
It's
way.
a it it's you're talking about just cleansing yourself of at best managerial systems that no longer apply, right? And when you are in a close relationship with God, I think it is not uncommon for a woman to discover that part of a close relationship to God is trust and faith.
Oh,
And you know what I
absolutely.
mean? And
Yes. Surrender to the process.
it
Like,
is a an interesting hypocrisy. I think when a lot of people tout their deep faith, in God and then go,
to the hospital. Yes.
do all that stuff. Although I guess anything you do, you could say is God, you could spiritually weaponize the concepts in any direction you possibly want. A very normal track to follow.
Right.
It's a very logical thing if you're going to say, I really trust in my life here and my design to be perfect. Well, then allow your babies to be born, allow the design to play out as it can.
Right. Absolutely. I wake up on November 11th, 2023, and I think to myself, wow, 11/11 would be such a cute birthday. And I was 41 and one, so that was like early for me because my last pregnancy I'd gone to 41 and five, and I, induced myself at home. So I was like, let's see here. And I began having very gentle contractions, super gentle. And I was like, huh, these are rhythmic. They're about every 15 to 18 minutes. Maybe something can happen today. Maybe. Like, I would love this birthday. It's so cute for her. And I didn't know she was a girl. So she was the first baby that I waited with as well. And I just kind of want to speak to that for a second because I found out the gender with both of my older kids. Okay. And I felt so much more connected with Florence than any other baby. Because I wasn't putting her in this box of like, she's a girl. Like, this is going to be her name and all of these things. Like, I had no idea who she was. I just knew there was a baby inside of me and I was connecting with this baby no matter who they were. And I just think a lot of the times women would be like, well, I need to know what I'm having in order to connect. And I even felt that way. And it was just such a beautiful experience, like not having any,
Control.
yeah, control. Yes.
The willingness to sit in the mystery and let the baby be what they are at that time in their life, which is that cheesy quote, if the womb was meant to be seen, it would have a
Yes.
window on it.
Right.
I love
Right.
that. So
Yeah.
there's so much divine mystery in allowing yourself to not know, and you just like hack it all out when you do all the tests and you do all the stuff and you think you know and you have this sense of control. But the opposite of control is surrender, right? And
Right.
there's so much magic in that.
Oh my gosh, it's like the most beautiful experience, truly. And I loved it. I loved that. Just connecting with my baby and not like who I think they are or the projections that I'm going to put on them, like what they're going to look like and their color of their hair and eyes. And like, it's just my baby. That's just my baby. So, like I said, woke up on 11/11. I was like, this is her birthday. Well, not knowing she was a she, but this is my baby's birthday. I'm super excited for this. And I did. I started contracting and I kind of had an inkling, you know, that labor was beginning. And my photographer was invited to my birth. It was very important to me that it was captured by her, and she's amazing. She's a little fly on the wall in births, and I love her, but she lives 2 hours away. And my last birth was super fast. So I had texted her morning of and said, hey, I'm just having some like rhythms, just like let you know, keep it on your radar because my labor last time was super fast. And so I kept in contact with her that early morning. Ultimately, she just decided to drive up and stay at her mom's house because her mom lives near me. So she could just be in the area just in case things kind of sped up. And I decided to just let it be a day. Like there, you know, we went to my favorite smoothie bowl place and had some yummy smoothies as I'm contracting and just like so excited. And we went to Target to look at Christmas decorations and like buy some Christmas decorations. And all the while, just like I'm sitting there like, oh, no one knows I'm in labor right now, but like I'm gonna have a baby soon. Like this is so exciting. So we went out as a family, the last time being a family of four, doing our thing, just spending the day well. And I get home, we all get home, and things are beginning to pick up at this point. They're just getting closer together. And my husband, bless his soul, you are going to laugh at this. It was a nice sunny day, and knowing that I'm in labor, he goes, can I go catch a round of golf before things things pick up? I'm like,
I
okay.
thought you guys repaired.
We are. Okay. He's just thinking, all right, this is my last chance to go golf.
Interesting.
It did feel nice to have like a couple hours with my kids asleep as I'm laboring and my husband is golfing. And it's funny because during that time, things really picked up. Like, I was like, okay, I'm feeling like I could be close to transition at this point. Couldn't even tell you what time of day it was, but it was like midday, maybe between like 2, 3, 4 p.m. So I texted my husband. I'm like, hey, things are picking up, so you might want to head back home. So I head back home and I had messaged my photographer too. I was like, hey, just letting you know. Things are picking up. So my husband gets home and things are speeding up, and we start setting up like kind of the birth pool because I thought I was going to birth in the tub again. Even though all of my dreams were a land birth, which is funny. And my doula ends up, sorry, she's not a doula photographer, she's doula tog, but photographer. She heads over at 4, walks in, and everything stops. So my labor slows down as soon as she comes in, which is funny because I'm safe with her. But it just kind of goes to show.
You're still observed.
Yes,
Yeah.
still observed because we're all sitting upstairs in the living room. I'm on the ball and she's sitting down on the chair. My kids are with her. She's snapping some photos. And things really spread out to like 18 to 30 minutes apart. And so she's like, you know what? I'm gonna leave. I think you really need to be alone, you know? And as soon as she leaves, things pick up again. And
The irony of birth photography.
isn't that funny?
I mean,
Isn't
it's
that
very,
so
very, very
funny?
common. Yeah.
I'm like, I love her so much and I want those photos. But like, yeah, it is that being observed, feeling. And just almost
Well,
like
and it's a fundamental oxymoron to be like, I want to be alone, I need to birth alone, but
yes.
also take pictures of me. Like that's a, you
But
know.
like the need to perform
Of
almost as
course.
well.
Of
Like,
course.
I need to be having contractions and like, do I don't know. Like, yeah, it's just, it is such a thing. It really is. I don't regret having her because those photos are so precious to me.
Hashtag worth
But it is very just like telling of like how my body would react, you know, like just her being there. So, yeah, things began to pick up again and I decide that I'm gonna go lay down in my bed, have my husband take care of the kids and they can hang out, and I'm just gonna go turn off the light, lay in my bed, and I'm gonna labor. And goodness, this was me. I don't even know the time for me. I'm sorry, I don't really have time stamps in my head. I was in labor land. I labored there for probably, I don't know, an hour or so, and things were picking up, but I really didn't think that I was like close. My labor just wasn't very like trackable. It was like up and down, depending on who was in the room at the time, who was at my house at the time, what we were doing. If I was laying down, if I was standing up, I would go from like contractions 2 minutes apart to like 18 minutes, 30 minutes. Like it was just, for me, I was just like, I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen here. And I labored for about an hour, and then my husband woke me up and said, "Hey, let's get the kids down for bed." And so we start getting the kids down for bed. This is probably around like 7:45 p.m. maybe. And so I'm like, okay. And looking back, I'm like, girl, you were literally about to give birth. How did you not know? Like, it's just so funny to me because I go into my daughter's room, Cicely, I'm putting her to bed, and I am like heavy breathing through the contractions. I can't, like, I'm trying to like get through my prayers with my kids, and I'm like stopping, and like, oh, I just like can't talk. And my son, he was four at the time, and he's like, "Mom," like trying to get me to like keep praying, and I'm like in labor, like literally about to have my baby. It's just so funny to look back at, but I was able to get them into bed, kiss them, and say goodnight. And Cicely went to sleep. Israel was not asleep quite yet, so he was a part of the birth, which was really special. And I get into my bed after getting the kids down, and I am laying there, and there is like a moment in birth where it's like there's no return almost for me, where it's like I get planted and I'm not gonna move. Like, this is where I'm gonna be. And looking back, like that happened about 15 minutes before Florence emerged. And I laid in my bed and I'm telling my husband, I'm like, you know what? Our plan was for me to give birth up here in the pool upstairs, and our bedroom is downstairs, and we had the pool set up here, no water in it yet, but I had called my husband and I'm like, "Babe, I can't make it up the stairs. Can you bring the pool down here? Like, let's set it up. Let's get it set up." Like, not knowing that I was about to give birth is just so funny. So he's running around upstairs trying to get the birth pool down here because I thought I wanted another water birth. And as he's upstairs, I have a contraction and I begin pushing, and my water breaks everywhere, all over my mattress. And I yell, "Babe, my water broke." And he comes running down the stairs and he's like, I don't think that we have time to set up the birth pool anymore. And like, okay, that's fine. And so at that moment, as I was beginning to push, I sent a voice message to my photographer, and I'm like, Natalia, I'm pushing. You need to get here. And
Oh my God.
so she's freaking out. Good thing she was
Did she
15.
make it?
Oh yeah, she was 15 minutes away, but
Nice.
so we looked at like our Ring door cam footage or whatever, and she ends up running through our door literally 10 seconds before Florence's head emerged. So like I could not have divinely planned this like well enough. Like God took care of me because he knew like I couldn't have people there, but I still wanted those photos very like at the end, they were important to me. So I only, had a couple of those pushing contractions, like two or three of them. And Natalia runs in literally with her camera on as I'm pushing Florence out and is like
Sense.
catching, that. And so her head emerges. And it's funny because I have no memory of pain, like pushing her out. With Sicily, I would explain it to people like, if the pushing phase lasted any longer than it did, I would have died. It was so painful. Like, it was so painful to push that baby out. And with Florence, there was zero pain. Like, I didn't f even feel her coming out. Like, I don't know. It was just like so different. I didn't feel it.
That's third baby magic right there.
Yeah. So, her head was out, and I had a really nice long break in between her head and her body emerging. And it was the coolest thing because, like, she's basically like between worlds, and I'm just sitting there, like, touching her head, just smiling ear to ear. And I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because I'm like realizing, Corinne, like your free birth. This is your free birth. Like you get it. Like you're doing this, and like just being so proud of myself for letting go of all the drama that I just like loved, in those other pregnancies and births. I'll willingly admit that all day long. So
I appreciate that.
yeah. And so, yeah, I just had a really like nice long break. And now that I look back at it now, I'm like, man, that resting point is just so nice. And it's just so sweet to just like sit in your body and like be like, oh my gosh, like soon the baby's gonna come out and be there. And like the fact that like in my son's birth, I in those breaks that I was having was told, oh, you have a lazy uterus.
Yeah.
When in all reality, it's like, no, this is the magic of birth. Like, this is so beautiful, so precious. And like, oh, it's just so good. So, yeah. And then another contraction happens and she slides out, and my husband untangles her from her cord. I have babies two for two with nuchal cords that are pretty tangly. I have very long cords with my baby, so she was wrapped up real good, and I let my husband do that for me, and we place her on my chest, and oh my gosh, just the feeling is so un you can't even describe it. It's just like you have to experience it, just how good it is to be like, oh my gosh, I gave birth. It just happened. Like I gave birth. That's all I did. And like it's so simple, but so beautiful and so perfect. So my husband is sitting there and he's like looking at me because he has like all this goo on his hands and like blood, amniotic fluid, and she had some meconium. And he's like looking at me like, I want to touch you, but my hands are disgusting. And I'm like, I don't care. Just like you can touch me. So he's like, helping me sit up a little bit. So, yeah, and she had a really good transition. Like she cried pretty well and pinked up super quickly. And I had my husband go get my son because we could hear him, poor thing, crying in his room because he
Oh,
heard me pushing the
yeah.
baby out. And I had had him watch my birth video with Sicily, and he was all prepped and stuff and new. But still, it's like such a big thing for a 4-year-old to like be in his room alone while his mom is across the hall pushing a baby out. So we bring him in, and in between that time where he's grabbing our son, I literally start just hysterically laughing. I'm just sitting there holding my baby. I didn't know like that she was Florence. Yeah, I didn't know she was my girl. I'm sitting there just like hysterically laughing at everything that had happened, just like the pure joy. And one of my prayers was for this birth that like I would be so emotionally like available and well and there. Like I would be able to feel all of my emotions, because with my son's birth, I was pulled out of whatever emotion I could have being drugged, you know? And then with my daughter, I felt so numb. And then with the whole separation thing, like I was never able to like feel really anything. And it took me so long to process those things. And it's just so funny. Like when birth happens the way it's supposed to, like those things can be. And so yeah, I have her and I'm hysterically laughing, and my husband brings my son in, and it was just so beautiful. And we look, you know, to see what she is, and she's a girl. And I was just like, oh, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it, I knew she was my girl. And that's another funny thing is like, even though I didn't know, and it was like that unknowing, it was still like there was this intuition there that I like allowed myself to have in that moment of being pregnant with her, like still not putting her in that construct or whatever and like projecting my things on her, but also it was like this knowing, like I know you, like looking at her and being like, I know you, this is you, this is who you, like the baby in my womb, this is you. And I never had that feeling with either of my other babies, like looking in the, at them and being like, I knew you. And it's just so crazy, like even the different bonds and connections that you feel having an intact birth like that, it's just so wildly different. And it's not to say that I'm not connected to my other babies. Like,
Of course.
clearly, they're my babies and I love them. But, like, there's something so special and strong about my free birth baby. There really is. It's just like a, di there's just a difference. There's just a difference there. And it's not necessarily like, you know, I don't know, better. It's just different. I don't want to say that I'm not connected to my other kids.
You're
That's what
not,
I'm trying to say.
but there was undeniable disconnection in the
Right.
hormonal sequence of your childbirth together. And that doesn't mean you love them less. It's, you know, and this is where I think women get really like, yeah, confused about how to talk about it. But if we're going to just go to like the sequence that when it occurs is set up for optimal bonding.
Right.
Like, of course, it feels different because you actually got the intended design.
I think it's just hard for me, like, just to say things like that out loud, because it makes me feel like, okay, well, you're not bonded enough to your son or your daughter. So it is hard for me to say that out
Yeah,
loud.
totally. I know a lot of women are trying to navigate that, but I don't think it's that you aren't bonded.
Right.
You have many, 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 many tentacles of bonding to, let's say, your first baby. So, your first child, you know, yes, it was a medicated hospital birth. So, there are some, I don't know if this is the right analogy, but how I kind of see it in my head is like, let's say you have a million tentacles to your child. Some of those didn't get to connect. It's
That's good.
just true, but
Right.
you have a million. You know,
Totally.
like there
But I
is
love that. I love that.
so much, and also you never stop bonding, right? So there were
Right.
some blips in the like first, let's say, 24 hours, and perhaps along the pregnancy, but it never ends. You continue creating and nurturing your bond with your child. So it's not like for anyone listening who had a C-section or had, you know, all of this interruption or a NICU stay, like, yeah, that happened. That does impact, it does affect. And also, you cannot not be connected to your child because they continue to be your child. Like every night when you put them to sleep, you're bonding with them. Every book you read to them, every song you sing to them, you know, it's all bonding. It's continuous and ongoing. But I also think we can't deny and shouldn't mm-hmm. deny the difference, because it is real. And I hear mothers say this all the time, that the free birth children's behaviors are different, attachments are different, health is different. And I think while I get that that does come with some level of pain and like concern of comparing the kids, and you would never want your children, you know, to feel like they're less than and all of that, something that I talk to moms a lot about is the whole seeing the family as a whole organism. And you are learning through your children, through your mothering experiences. And so you like, yeah, it does just like objectively kind of suck that your son got the like shitty birth. Like, yes, that mm-hmm. sucks. And he also came first because he could handle it. And he came first because mm-hmm. on some soul spiritual level, he was up for this story with you, mm-hmm. you know, and your Florence baby, you know, your third gets to reap all the beautiful benefits of your learning curve as a mother, but so does he, because yes, he was a hospital born child, but then he got to be a part of Florence's birth. And so that's a part of his story too. It's not over with that he was a drugged birth baby. Like mm-hmm. that's just one part of his whole big story, which is still unfolding in your family, right? But he gets to experience so much healing and growth and intactness by being a part of your family, and you being the central, you know, the central nervous system of the entire family's organism. You know, everyone is healing through your healing. Do you know, does that make sense what I'm saying?
You know, that, thank you for saying that, because that's really freeing for me. And it's, you articulated it so well, because all, everything that you said is like the feeling inside of me, but to verbalize it, like you said, is painful and hard to be like, you know what, like there is a different bond there. So I appreciate you going into that and saying that. Now I have words for it, and I'm able to, you know, speak to that. So yeah, I really appreciate you going into that. Thank you for saying
and
that.
And his story was a part of knowing better and doing better, right? Like yes. that inspired what then is for your whole family. Mm-hmm. And because I work with a lot of moms who are like, how am I going to tell my C-section baby or my birth trauma baby his story someday? Mm. And then when they go on to have free births, they can feel quite guilty and like, oh wow, so your sibling got this like epic birth and yours was all fucked up and we were apart mm-hmm. for 4 days and, you know, whatever. There's obviously so many horrible stories out there. And that's always what I go to, is like, it's not isolated. It's all a part of the tree of the whole family story, and that you are, again, you know, the healing force that is knowing better and doing better through the learned experiences of mothering. They all benefit from that. It's, you know, it's not happening on a hierarchy. That's not like, yes, there's objective natural law that like, okay, normal physiological birth is better, like for the mother baby. Yes, of course. But how that translates into the health and bonding and connection of the family is more complicated than a black and white comparison.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
So how long ago? This was exactly a year ago.
So yeah, barely. She'll be one on the 11th.
11/11.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yes.
And so let's close with this question I love to ask women, which is how has free birth changed you? Like, how are you different now? What do you notice about yourself? How's it impacted your life?
Man, I think the biggest thing that comes to mind is letting go of that drama that I, you know, was willingly participating in because of the excitement, like, and just really leaning into the discernment and intuition that I was given, and following those things throughout my entire life now. Like, the big overarching theme is leaning into like my knowing and myself, and not like playing this game almost with, I don't even know, like playing this game with myself out of like, I don't know, excitement. That's just the best way that I can describe it. And just, I have had, I'm not fully like healed from my anxiety from my second birth, but Florence's birth has been so healing. That's like the biggest thing is like, oh my gosh, she's just healed. Her birth has healed so much that happened, mainly in Cicely's birth, just because they were both born at home and in the same room, in the same environment. And just, it's like given me the freedom to now like really work on that healing, that happened from my second birth. And just being chill. Like, I don't know. I just have this like chill, feeling about me and just like really being intuitive with motherhood. And like, Florence is the first baby that I've had who's never seen a pediatrician because I still did the well visits with my other two. Like, my other two babies wore the owlet sock at night. Florence is my first baby that I have never put that on her. Like, it's just, there's so much connection and healing and trust and knowing, because in my other babies, like that was always there in me, but I let this other thing take, I don't know, like
Well, it's like
precedence. Like, it
the
was
shift of
there.
outsourcing to
Yes,
having a real sense of self.
absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, it's always been there within me, but I've always let it kind of like take the back burner. And like you said, like outsource to other things. And she's the first baby that like I have really fully allowed that to be.
Nice.
And like us to just be, us to just birth, us to just breastfeed, us to just be a family. And let me tell you, like, she is so special. She's so special to me. Not that my other kids aren't. We've already discussed this, but like there's just like a twinkle about her that I'm like, you are a free birth baby. Like, it's just so obvious. It's just so obvious, like just how she is, just who she is, her personality. And I'm just,
And she's a reflection of where you're at,
oh,
you
absolutely,
know?
absolutely. Yeah, and I've been able to even see a shift in my other kids too, honestly, like through this transition and their security. And there was kind of a distance between me and Cicely for a long time because of that anxiety piece. Like, she almost preferred my husband sometimes. And I almost am like, well, did she feel that though? Like, was she
Of
feeling that
course.
anxiety from me
Yes.
and like that
Guaranteed.
disconnection?
Yes.
And now, like, she's a mama's girl. So, like, there's been like healing and she
She feels
wants
safe with
me.
you.
Yes.
Yeah, that
So,
makes sense. I mean, you're the nervous system of your family, whether you like it or not. And so if you're a fucking train wreck, and I'm not saying you, like anyone, you know, like if whoever, any of us are a train wreck and we're dysregulated and we're anxious and blah, 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 you know, like that shows up in our family for sure. For sure, because we are the central nervous system, whether we like it or not. We're the moms, you know, we're the moms and the wives. Like that's the center of the whole shebang. And so it's not surprising to me that as you find your power and begin to live from inside out into the world and begin to really trust yourself and let your choices reflect your trust and your faith and your surrender and your instincts and your intuition, it's no surprise that your children would respond towards that.
And even just for me, my husband's relationship, like our free birth is so healing for us as well, because he was never like able to be involved, and even in the capacity I wanted him to be in the hospital birth and also in our home birth with Cicely, because his mother was there and there was disconnection between us as well. And a lot of our healing took place in Florence's pregnancy. But then it was just kind of like the grand finale to get to just birth together. And like for him to just be there and get to play the role of the father and the protector and
It's
live
big.
out the seed that he had planted, you know?
In more ways than one.
Yes, in more ways than one. I love that. So
Yeah,
that's
it's a big
perfect.
deal.
So it's kind of
Awesome.
like, yeah, my husband had kind of like spoke this into existence for us, and it was really me just like pulling things out of myself to get to that point. But yeah.
Well, how can women find you and follow you since I know you're putting lots of fun stuff about your life out there?
Yeah, so I share a lot of my journey on Instagram. That's Corinne Adele. And then I just started a podcast a couple of weeks ago called the Mindful Mama Podcast. So you can find me on all platforms there as well. So yeah, Corinne Adele on everything, and then Mindful Mama for my podcast.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time.
And thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. You can support this podcast by donating to it through the link in the show notes below. And of course, leaving an awesome review on whatever platform you listen on. The more reviews, the more visibility the show gets. So let's spread the good word of Sovereign Birth. Don't forget, you can watch our podcast interviews on YouTube and see the women as they tell their birth and power stories. And you'll also find our viral free birth collection of epic raw birth videos on our YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed to our channel. We've always got a lot going on at Free Birth Society, and you can find out all about it at freebirthsociety.com, at Free Birth Society on Instagram, and opt in to my newsletter below. We offer courses on free birth, authentic midwifery, the blood mysteries, as well as one-on-one coaching, in-person retreats, and of course, our annual women's gathering, the Matriarch Rising Festival. Our exclusive private vetted membership, the Lighthouse, is definitely something to check out if you're looking for a community of wise sisters to get guidance from and to meet in real life. Together we rise, sisters. We must speak our stories, fully claim our lives, and support one another. This is the living revolution, and I am so grateful to be in it with all of you. I'll leave you with our gorgeous Free Birth Society theme song, Wild Woman by Aruba Red.
I honor you for the wisdom you held, the ancient traditions of plant medicine and womb magic. I feel the spirit of the ancestors as I place my hands upon my belly. This sacred portal will be honored. Eons upon light beams of survival, withstanding the eradication of our power by design. I will not allow the separation of our young to be forced upon me. My sisters will no longer birth in captivity. The picket line redefined from burning our wild women to paralyzing us and drugging our babes. Strapped down in a clinical white bed, drying up the milk from our breasts, keep your needles. My family will never again be doomed to chase those dragons or your poison. We reject your fear. We choose love. Everything with intention, death, ascension. I will fly and bring her back from the stars. Conscious.